Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Alan Radin about COPD and the effects of smoking.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy about that, actually, because the classic teaching was that after 10 years of being free of cigarette smoke, that the risk of lung cancer then goes back to the risk in the general population, which is very low. There is lung cancer among non-smokers, but it's not that common. It's very unusual. The people have looked at some of that data now and said, well, maybe it's not 10 years. Maybe there is some increased risk that goes forward after that. It obviously goes down considerably after a decade, but there may be some risk. As far as COPD is concerned, whatever damage was done, and at this point, I don't think that would be an issue for you. If you had spirometry, you might see that your lungs were not as good as an age-matched control.
Well, I had spirometry about a year ago, and I was fine.
Good.
I do very well with that, Dennis.
Not
I
every,
talk a lot.
With the word or with the
spirometry
with the test?
Spirometry and the test.
Not every smoker gets COPD. It's hard to, and we don't really know why some do and some don't. There may be some genetic predisposition to that. But not every smoker, let's say every person who smoked 3 packs a day for 10 years, gets COPD. And, of course, if the spirometry now has been so long after the smoking, you may have recovered enough lung function to, that is, your peers, your age-matched peers, may have lost enough lung function to have caught up with you. And so it's normal for age. One of the things that some spirometers do is to calculate what's called a lung age. And what that does basically is says, okay, this is your lung function. It would be normal if you were such and such years old. So in my practice, I have a 50-year-old man who's a pack-a-day or pack-and-a-half-a-day smoker. His lung age is 80. Ooh. That is, it'd be normal if he was 80 years old. I use that to help to motivate people to stop smoking because I tell them, look, if your lungs are 80 years old, how long do you think they're going to live?
Exactly.
Right.
So that's lung age is one of the ways that you can translate all this spirometry data into something that really hits home, very understandable and very emotional.
So, Dennis, are you playing doubles tennis or single?
Well, I'm playing doubles, but only because the guy that I played singles with beats me all the time.
Right.
Right.
Now, what about diet tips? What do we do as far as nutrition?
Okay, so diet, well, first of all, through most of the stages of COPD where people are not terribly hampered by the lung disease, you want to have a healthy diet anyway because you want to avoid heart disease and all the other things that that diet can help you. As you get into the more severe parts of COPD, there are some dietary changes that can be made to reduce the carbohydrate load that a person takes. Carbohydrates get metabolized to carbon dioxide and water. Oh. And the carbon dioxide is released from the body through the lungs. And one of the problems that people with COPD have is getting rid of that carbon dioxide. And then that affects their body acidity and other things. It can be a huge challenge. So we try to reduce carbohydrates. It's one of the places, one of the few places in medicine where we actually increase fats in the diet and reduce carbohydrates to help people to reduce that CO2 load, the carbon dioxide load, and make it a little easier for them. Maintaining a normal weight is important. Obviously, if your lungs aren't working well and you're very overweight, you have a double problem in terms of exercise ability. And, of course, if you have severe enough COPD, then it becomes difficult to exercise, becomes easier to sit on the couch, and so weight control becomes even more difficult.
Well, in preparation for this interview, we went back and we did some research and found a paper that was published by John Hopkins University, or John Hopkins Health Alerts, actually. And they were talking about, at the later stages, how many COPD patients are malnourished.
Right.
Because the effort to eat is such, and the effort to breathe uses so many calories that you have two negative things happening that diminishes
the enjoyment of eating.
Well you have an enormous problem in late-stage COPD. Mm-hmm. First of all, adults cannot breathe and eat at the same time. Infants can. Yeah, we could try. But infants can do that. Infants can nurse on a bottle or a breast and never stop while they're breathing. But we lose that very soon in our infancy. And as an adult, you have to stop breathing to swallow your food, and then you swallow food and start breathing. So if you're short of breath to start with, all that time that you're taking to swallow and to stop breathing is a difficult thing to do. To start with. And then, you're right, there's an additional calorie expenditure simply for breathing. And then everything that you do, getting up from the couch to go to the bathroom, takes much more work and much more energy than it would if you were fit. People late stage, because they are getting malnourished, tend to lose lean body mass, meaning they lose bone and muscle. So if you're losing muscle, you become weaker, and then that adds to that. These are not only arm and leg muscles and back muscles that would help you walk across the room, but also the respiratory muscles, the muscles in the ribs, the muscles of the diaphragm also are lost. So there's weakness, and this is part of that spiral that you mentioned before. Bad breathing, bad eating, more weakness. More weakness makes for more difficulty breathing, and it just keeps on going down unless you can intervene and make some changes.
So
that's very late stage disease.
So they kind of wither away.
They do, but they wither away. People at that stage tend to be in and out of the hospital with COPD exacerbations or pulmonary infections. So they often have a sort of a revolving door relationship with a hospital. Be in for a week or two, out for a month or two or three or four, back in the hospital with another exacerbation. And each of these exacerbations takes a toll on their lung function and on their overall health and on their emotional health. It really is very depressing.
It has to be very depressing.
Yeah. And they're probably more vulnerable, too, with the flu season, et cetera, with the wintertime.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We try to emphasize that everyone with lung disease, whether it be asthma, COPD, or any of the other pulmonary diseases, get immunized. Make sure that they have annual flu vaccines and then also the pneumonia vaccine to make sure that as best they can, they prevent preventable illness.
We're going to take a break. We're talking with Dr. Alan Radin about COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and right now about the pneumonia vaccine. Be right back.